All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then he gives us a promise, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So, three quick observations. Observation number one. If all authority has been given to Jesus, he controls every molecule in this universe, then why is he giving us the command to go and make disciples? Why couldn't he just simply do it himself? Why couldn't he simply write that law in every person's mind saying that Jesus is Lord and you should become a Christian? Or he could order angels to come and appear in their dreams, like he has done with some Muslims apparently, that Jesus is Lord and Muhammad is not. He could do that, but he chooses not to. Instead, he asks or he commands his subjects or his servants or his sons and daughters, such as us, his children, to go to all nations and make disciples of all nations. Why? Two reasons. Number one, because that's the way that God decided to work. And we must simply trust that if that's what God decided to do, that must be the best way. You and I can think of a number of other ways that we think would be better, but are we supposing that we are better than God? We are smarter than God? No. If that's the way that God decided to do, it must be the best way. So number one. Second reason might be that he wants us to be involved in the work that he is doing so that we can share in the joy and the glory that he will be receiving. Right? So he could have done it all by himself, but he's letting us join in his work so that in the end when we see the fruit, when he sees the fruit, that we can also say that, yes, I took part in that. And he gives us the reward for it. So for our joy, right, for our enjoyment, God is letting us be involved in the work that he is doing all over the world. One of the greatest joys in life is seeing somebody come to know Christ because of your witness, right? Let me ask you, okay, how many of you had the privilege of actually leading somebody to Christ? Anybody like that in here? Yeah, I see some hands. That's awesome, right? There's no greater joy. There's nothing that you can do in this world that is better than leading somebody to Christ. I don't care if you gave away $1 million to somebody. I don't care if you gave somebody legs. Or I don't care if you cured somebody's cancer. That person's going to die anyway, soon. But to witness to somebody and have that person become reborn in Christ, you're giving that person eternal life. What greater gift is there than that, right? And so we want to be involved in that, and God is letting us be involved in that. Observation number two is making disciples. It says, do not just simply make converts, but make disciples, as in make disciples who are followers of Christ, who conform to the image of Christ. So it's not good enough for us to lead somebody and that person says, yes, I put my faith in Jesus. Now my name is written in the book of life, so thank you so much for that. Right? I'm going to go to heaven when I die. That's not enough. That's simply a start of it. But the discipleship process is a lifelong process, right? Because we change slowly. Sometimes we take two steps forward, and frankly, sometimes we take three steps back. Christians are not people who are living a semi-perfect life. Can I get an amen for that? How many of you, let me ask you, just this week only, okay, last 6 days, how many of you lived a perfect life? Raise your hand. Because I want to worship you as God if you did. I have not. I struggle with lust. I struggle with greed. I struggle with laziness, right? I struggle with my tongue all this week. Right? And I'm supposedly the most spiritual guy in the church just because I have the title pastor in front of me, right? We all struggle, right? We all need Jesus. And so we are all a work in progress as disciples, right? And that's why we need each other to help one another. And when you belong to a church, you're actually giving one another the right to rebuke, right to correct, right to impose, right to probe. Hey, what side have you been on? Where have you been going to, right? What have you been putting into your body? We're giving them the right to do that because they're bringing health to our lives, right? They're helping us become more like Christ. And so Jesus tells us to go and make disciples. Listen, there are Paul-type missionaries who are going to these nations in which the gospel has never been preached. But is that for everybody? No. There's also the Timothy type, who is supposed to stay in one place for a long time and flush out what the Paul type of missionaries have done. Right? They preach the gospel, they go on, they go somewhere else, they plant a church somewhere else, but the people who are supposed to remain there and then disciple the people, love on the people, correct, rebuke, encourage, so that they will become more like Christ, right? That's the local church, that's what we are doing. But some people ought to go out and do the Paul type of ministry, and we are there to help them. Observation number three, quickly, I'm almost done. Baptize and teach them to obey. Baptism symbolizes, okay, it does not effectuate, but it symbolizes the brand new life in Christ, which means that we are identifying, we're becoming one with Christ. What Christ has done for us actually becomes ours. So identification with Christ, and then also it's a witness to the people of God, saying that now I am joining the family of God, right? Because I have received Christ as my Savior and Lord by dying to myself, right? When you go into the water, that's you going buried, okay, under the water. And then when you come out of it, you're coming up as a newborn with a new life in Christ. So you are no longer living for yourself, but you're living for God. And the baptism is symbolic of that. And so with that, right, with that, that's the start of it. From that point on, we are being taught the Word of God, right, how to live, and changing little by little until God takes us home, and that we will be glorified and we will finally become perfect. And so today we have a baptism ceremony. Actually, two individuals will be baptized, Lamech and Benjamin will be baptized. Praise God for that. Amen. And I have spoken with both of them to make sure that they understand that why they want to get baptized and why they should get baptized. And they have given me the satisfying answer. And so thank God that we will be doing that. But that's the result of somebody's work, right? A missionary's work somewhere many, many years ago, and we are keeping that or propagating that work that they have started. And as one team that's going to come out and doing the presentation, well, they are now going to another country, Thailand, to do the work that somebody has done in this country long time ago. So let me give you a little history behind how we got to go to Thailand, okay? So give me maybe three more minutes. So 2013, so what is that, 6 years ago? That was about 3 years after our church started. Our church started on 10-10-10, October 10th of 2010. So 3 years after that, summertime, about six or seven of us went to Indonesia because we had a missionary as a member of our church, IMB Missionary, International Mission Board Missionary, who served in China for a long time. And so you can see the picture here. That's when Chan and Hannah, I think, were still singles. I think that was right before or right after they got married, and certainly no Caleb, you know, no children, right? And so six of us went to Indonesia, and then there's another picture after that. Predominantly a Muslim country, and we had a great time getting to know these college students, teaching them English, and then on the last day we were able to also share our the faith testimony with the Muslims in a school. That was awesome. However, in 2014, we wanted to go back, but we couldn't because we realized that the Ramadan, which is the Muslim holiday, all the college students will be going home to their hometown during the summertime, in which is the only time that we could be there. And so the college, you know, we'd be preempted of all those students. And so we decided, well, we can't go back, right? So in 2014, the next picture, Mrs. Lee and I went to Thailand because we had a contact there, and just to explore to see whether there, you know, is a need for us to come. And then we determined that, yes, there is a great need. And so 2015, the next summer, so this was about 4 years ago, we took a team of seven people to go to northern Thailand. And so we spent a week in Chiang Mai and then a week down in Bangkok. And we work with students, small students. We work with VBS, you know, churches, and so on and so forth. And so we spent 2 weeks there. And then this is the picture after that. So ever since then, we've been going every summer. And I believe this is 2016. Next picture is 2017. And then 18. That's the first year in which that I did not go with the team. And they did great. And they all came back safely. Praise God. Right? And so that was the last year, and then 2019 is this year. So we have six people, again, committing to go from June 22nd to July 4th. And so they are going to come up here and give us their personal testimonies so that we can pray for them and support them. Okay? Thank you.